Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Good morning. Before we get into God's Word this morning, we're going to go through the title of my sermon this morning is Using the Most Unlikely Spots in Life, Part 2. We're going to continue in Philippians this morning. So before we go into God's Word, why don't we just go to Him in prayer and meet with Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are the bread of life. The author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we come to You because we know that it is through Your Word and through meeting with You and through fellowship with You, through communion with You, that we are to become more like You, that our lives are to reflect Your character and who You are, that we are to love what You love and value what You value, that we are to love one another and love others outside of our church, just as You do. Father, I pray that You would move within us. Pray that Your Spirit would anoint me so that I might speak Your Word in a clear way, and that it might change our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week, again, we looked at how God uses the most unlikely spots in life to reveal Himself to others. Okay, and I shared with you the story, if you guys remember from last week, I shared with you the story about Rachel Scott. Remember that last week? She was a victim of the Columbine tragedy. And now how God has used kind of an unlikely spot in her life. Her father and her brother now go around sharing Rachel's story. And from her life, people know about Jesus. I also shared with you about the story about Elder Lou, and even in his circumstances a few weeks ago of being ill, God was being revealed to the paramedics who helped him in the choir room there, as well as to us. And finally, I shared with you about Paul. Okay, we looked at Paul's situation and how his being in an unlikely and unpleasant spot, that is, being under house arrest, served to advance the good news. God was using Paul's present circumstances of being in Rome and being in prison or being in jail, being under house arrest, to one, reveal God to the people around him, to the prison guards, as well as to spark or to encourage believers around him to speak out the good news more boldly, to speak out God's message with fire. Because they were like, man, Paul's like, here he is in prison for the sake of the good news, for the gospel. Gosh, I've got to get out there and I want to share the good news that's happened in my life, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I challenged you last week to say, hey, look at your present circumstances. Where are you in life? Whether it be middle school, whether it be high school, whether it be college, whether it be whatever circumstances or situation that is happening in your life right now, and I challenged you to see, hey, how might God be using your present circumstances now to reveal Himself to those around you? Kind of God uses you and your circumstances to show others who He is, okay? Well, today Paul begins to shift a little bit in his letter. We're going through Philippians, and he was sharing with the Philippians about his present circumstances, kind of where he was at, where the gospel was at. But today he kind of shifts a little bit more towards his future circumstances. Okay. Now we are a culture, or we are a society that is continually thinking about our future, aren't we? Do you ever think about how often your mind drifts towards the future? Or maybe even right now, how your mind is drifting towards the future? It's kind of like this many times. It's like you're sitting in maybe in math class in the morning, all right? And you're already thinking about, you're not thinking about math class, you're thinking about lunch. You know, when you're able to hang out with your friends or just have lunch, your mind is already going forward to like, oh, once I get to lunch. But yet, when you get to lunch, you forget how much you were looking forward to lunch, and you start talking with your friends about the weekend. You know, and you start, oh, like, oh yeah, once we get to the weekend, things are going to be good. And then you finally, you go through maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you get to the weekend. And when you're at the weekend, you begin to talk about, you're not so excited that it's a weekend anymore. You're just excited that you're going to your friend's birthday party, right? You're always looking forward to what might be coming up, you know? And then you'll be satisfied once you get to that point, you know? So you get to your friend's birthday party, and then you guys start talking about, hey, I'm looking forward to the summer. I'm so looking forward to getting to the summer when we don't have to go to school. We can relax and just hang out and so forth. You know, we're always as a society thinking about maybe if I was in this grade, or maybe once I get to high school, or maybe once I get to college, maybe once I get out of college, get a job, my life will be better, you know, somehow. So once you get to your friend's birthday party, you're talking about the summer, you get to the summer, and of course, then you're in the summer, and I heard this from you before, you're in the summer, and you're like, oh man, I'm bored, I just want to be back in school. It goes on and on, it's kind of like a circle. It's like you're always looking towards the future, right? Or maybe it's that you're always worried about the future, whether what you're getting on your tests or maybe what you're getting in your ACTs I think about every time we're always thinking about the future, whether what's coming up, we're looking forward to it, or maybe we're worrying about it. But Paul has a different perspective. He gives us a different perspective, a radically different perspective on his own future and through that, our future. Okay? His essential words to the Philippians is that, hey, you know what? Whatever the future brings, I don't know what the future is going to bring for me, but whatever the future brings, may it be that Christ is revealed through me, through my circumstances. May it be, hey, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but whatever it is, may Christ be revealed in my life. Whatever happens in the days and the weeks and the months to come, may Christ be exalted through me. And this is a radically different, if you think about it, this is a radically different perspective than most of us have, right? We're mostly concerning about the details of our future and less concerned about, hey, is God coming out through me around to the people around me? Okay? So let's begin to take a look at Paul's different perspective on the future. Okay, we're going to pick up kind of where we left off. He says this in verse 1:18 in Philippians, if you have your Bibles with you. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice. I'm excited that the good news is coming out. And you know, he's talking about, again, there were some around Paul that as he was in jail, as he was in house arrest, they were preaching the gospel. Some of them were preaching it out of being genuine. They wanted to share with other people, hey, there is some hope for you. There's some eternal hope, some rest that you can find in your life. But others were out there preaching the good news because they were envious of Paul and his ministry. It's kind of like I shared last week, it's kind of like churches who are almost competing against each other, and it's not a good motivation. It's not a good motive to be preaching the gospel. But Paul says, like, either way, I am just ecstatic. I am rejoicing that, hey, the good news, Jesus Christ is being talked about out there, and I'm excited. And then he kind of shifts, if you notice, he'll shifts from his present circumstances of what's going on with the gospel presently to the future and his future circumstances. He says, so I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice. In the future I will rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Now this is kind of a strange sentence here. I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead me to my deliverance. And you kind of think, well, what do you mean, what are you talking about in deliverance? Well, now, based on the word that Paul is using here for deliverance, he is not talking about being delivered from prison. He's not saying, in other words, for I know that Philippians, as I write to you and as you pray for me and as the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to me getting out of prison. This will lead to me getting away from my accusers and so I'll be free. He's not talking about this. Kind of the word that he's using here, Paul is speaking more about God's purposes being carried out in his life. Okay. In other words, he knows that as the Philippians pray, And as the Holy Spirit will supply him with all that he needs to carry out God's purpose for him and persevere in God's purpose for him. So he's saying, hey, I know that you guys are praying for me. And as you pray for me, the Spirit is going to fill me. You know, we all have the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we need the Spirit, more Spirit presence in our lives. And this is going to help me to persevere in God's ultimate purpose for me. He'll be delivered in the sense that he will have persevered in the faith that he's so proclaiming, the good news that he's proclaiming to the guards around him. And so even as a side note, as we kind of look about what Paul is talking about here, this passage isn't so much about prayer, but even from this, we can take out how we are to pray for people, okay? Even in this small section. Again, the main focus is not prayer, but we can learn from this. We can take Paul's example of how the Philippians prayed for him, and it'll help us to learn how to pray for people. So when we look at how they are praying for Paul and what he's saying it's leading them to, this is how we can pray for people. You know, oftentimes when we have our prayer requests, and these are good. You know, these are the prayer requests that we have even today are good prayer requests. But I want to share with you another way, kind of like how the Philippians are praying for Paul, of ways that we can pray for each other. Okay? Oftentimes if I'm praying for Eric, and you know, again, I know that Eric has shared with me that he has a test coming up, or a major paper or something he's got to get done. I don't know, you know, probably don't have papers, but tests, okay? And a lot of times you guys will share this. We can go ahead and pray for Eric and say, hey, Lord, we pray for Eric. We pray that he would he'd have clarity of mind when he's taking his test, that he would remember what he studied for. But another way that we could be prayerful for people is to say, also, Lord, I pray that the Spirit would supply Eric with what he needs to carry out the purpose in his life. See, we don't often pray that way, do we? We kind of pray many times what we're tempted to pray for, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's kind of the temporal things in our life, right? Our immediate needs, and that's fine. It's okay. God wants us to bring everything to him, right? But another way we could pray is say, hey, I want the Spirit to kind of supply Eric with all he needs so that when he's at school, he can live out what God's wanting him to do. To be a light to people around him. For example, here's another just a real tangible example. I've learned this past week. Elder Lee, for example, I don't know if you guys know, we've got a very small problem with our land. We've got a retention pond, and what happened was there's some water that went into the retention pond. It overflowed. It kind of went out onto the road, and the road. It froze back a few months ago, and there was an accident. There was an accident on the road because of the ice. So we need to be sure as a church that we take care of our drainage system so that the water doesn't overflow. Elder Lee said, hey, could you pray for me? Because I'm talking with, what happened was, there was a situation where, okay, so we get this fixed, we call in these contractors, they dig down to fix it, and what happens is they break into our sprinkler system. So it breaks. And so now it's another, gosh, I think Elder Lee said another like $1,200. And so we're in a spot where Elder Lee is stuck. He's working with this contractor, he's saying, look, all right, we didn't supply you the map, per se, of our land, but also, you dug down and you broke our sprinkler system. So Elder Lee said, hey, can you pray? He shared with us, can you pray for me? Because it's hard when I talk with these contractors. I feel like I want to just say, you guys, it's your fault. You guys pay for this, you know? But he said, look, I don't want to lose my witness. I don't want to go to these guys and get angry and lose my temper. So pray for me that, you know, pray that I would my conversation, my words to them would be full of grace and seasoned with salt. You know, pray for me. And this is kind of what Paul is saying the Philippians are doing. They're praying for, say, we're praying for Elder Lee, that the Spirit would give him the words to carry out his purpose so that he wouldn't lose his witness to the contractors, okay? So it's a different way for us to think about prayer, all right? So Paul, again, is talking about his, I will continue to rejoice, okay? He's talking about what is his future circumstances. So let's see what else Paul has to expect for his future. He goes on to say, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or whether I die." Now Paul, when he's saying this, he's thinking about standing before his accusers. Because remember, if we get back into the letter and where Paul is at in life, he's in prison. And he's in prison because he's been sharing the gospel, because there are some Jews who don't like that he's proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah, that he's bringing these Gentiles into their faith. So they're extremely upset with him. They ship him off to jail. And he's thinking about this as he says this, "Hey, that I fully expect I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or whether I die." And he's saying, "Hey, when you pray for me, what is happening is, as the Spirit supplies me with all I need, I will be able to stand firm before my accusers. You will give me the words to say. You will give me the boldness in my heart to stand firm and be a bold witness for Christ." So even Paul, who we think, okay, Paul goes around, he goes around sharing the gospel with everyone. He's such a bold guy. We listen to his words. He's such a bold guy. But he's even asking the Philippians, "I still need your prayer. And as you pray for me, the Spirit fills me. And as the Spirit fills me, I'm able to carry out what God wants me to do. I need you to pray. I need the Spirit to help me." Okay? But Paul is most concerned. He is most concerned that Christ would shine through him. He is mainly occupied with the idea that Christ would be magnified in his life. He's not so concerned in his future. As you sit in prison, I wonder how many of those who sit in prison, say on death row or in a place where they're captured, think about not that Christ would be glorified, but, "Man, I hope I get out of here alive." But Paul, it's strange. His future is not so occupied with whether I live or whether I die, whether I'm in prison or whether I'm free, but he's more concerned about, "Hey, whatever happens, may Christ be glorified in me. May Christ be revealed through me, wherever I'm at." You see, what made Paul's perspective on his future so different from ours is that he placed more emphasis on Christ shining through him than the actual specifics of his future. He was less concerned in the future of whether he was to get out of prison or be executed, but just that Jesus would be revealed in my life. Can you think of this perspective? Can you have this perspective in your life? Like in school or wherever you're at, wherever your lot in life is, that Christ, may Christ be revealed whatever happens to me. And you might say, "Hey, this perspective seems a little too radical for me, Brady. It's a little too fanatical." And actually, frankly, if I were to think about thinking always about Jesus, always about the gospel, always about the good news, it seems a little bit out of grasp for where I'm at in my faith right now. I don't think like that. I'm not Paul. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I don't write books about the Bible. I don't write letters to people like this. This seems a little bit out of my grasp of where I'm at with my faith right now. I'm just a normal guy or normal girl living my life, you know. But it's not to say that Paul never made plans. I want you to know that it's not that Paul, like, never made plans for the future, or I never thought about the future. It's not like, it's not a fatalistic, some sort of Christian fatalistic where it's like, fatalism where it's like, "Hey, I don't really care. I don't need to plan for my future. I don't need to plan financially. I don't need to plan for college. I can just live my life day by day. It doesn't really matter." That's not what Paul is saying. All he's saying is that, it's just that my emphasis is that, gosh, I want the gospel to be heard. I want people to know, because I'm so in love with Christ. I'm so into Christ. I just want people to know who He is. That's all. That's all I want. All right? He says, in Philippians 1:20, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die. And again, gosh, you might be thinking, this is just too, I can't get to this place. I'm so far from thinking about the gospel in this way every day in my life, or thinking about Jesus every day in my life. So I want to share with you, because Paul shares with you, what allows you to have this perspective that's kind of radical, that doesn't really so much care about the specifics of your future, just as long as Jesus is, like, glorified. What is the key? What allows him to have this radical perspective on his future, where it's like, I don't care if I die or live. I don't care if I'm in prison or free. I just want the gospel to be heard. What is it that enables him to see the world this way? Well, he answers it in starting in verse 21. For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. So here's the key. Here's what enables Paul to kind of have this radical, very different perspective than most of us have on his future. It's simply that for him, life is Christ. Life is Christ. Okay? Christ is, for Paul, he's so caught up with Jesus. He's so far gone into Jesus that everything around his life is like Christ is in the middle, and everything around it just kind of follows around Jesus. Like if Jesus was in the middle, everything else is kind of just on the side of it, you know? And this is the kind of the key that allows him to have the perspective that he has in prison, or whatever circumstance you are in, or whatever circumstance you will be in. This allows him to have this almost unreal, strange perspective that we're just not used to thinking this way. It reminds me very much of something that Jesus said in Matthew. Jesus said this in Matthew. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows what you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings enough of its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So again, he's like, hey, Jesus is saying, look, this is partly in light of provision, but don't worry about so much about these things, about your clothes and what you're going to wear, about what you're going to eat, about these smaller things, because you know what? Today has enough worry of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. But seek first His kingdom. Seek first Him first, above all else. Everything else, you know, God will provide. You can trust Him in this. A number of years ago, there were some T-shirts that would say, and this was, I don't know, maybe when I was in, I don't know, middle school or high school. There's some T-shirts that said, you know, I'd see them, and maybe they're still around. It said like things like, let's say, golf is life, or jogging is life, you know. It kind of talked about, hey, and here's some other ones. Eat, sleep, play, tennis, you know. Tennis, yeah. You know, In college, tennis was almost like an idol for me. I got tennis magazine. I played tennis for hours regularly on every day. Any chance I could, I watched tennis on TV. I knew the rankings and so forth. I love tennis, you know, and there's nothing wrong with loving it, but this, you know, another one is tennis is my world, or tennis is in my blood, you know. And again, these T-shirts are kind of half serious, half joking, of course, but you know, I don't know, maybe you can think of people that sometimes it's like this, you know. I know I've seen some older guys who golf is their life, you know, like on Sundays they're not out worshiping God. They're there on the fairway, you know, because that's what they think about during the week. That's what holds their heart and what holds their mind, you know. But for Paul, what enabled him to have this perspective is that for him, if he had a T-shirt, it would say, "Christ is my world," you know. Everything that I think about, everything that I love, that I care for, that I value, it all has to do with Jesus, you know. Or Christ is in my blood, you know. I'm just caught up in this, and so it doesn't. My future, the specifics of my future, isn't so important. It's that Christ is important. All right. So whatever happens to me is just fine, just as long as I bring honor to Christ. You see, I tell you, I know. As you think about this and like think about how much Christ thought about the gospel, wrote about the gospel, talked about the gospel all the time, you think, man, I don't know if I want to give that up. I don't know if I want to have that kind of life, to be frank with you. But I can tell you this, is that in some ways, Paul experienced more freedom than anyone because none of these other things in his life were so important. He experienced an amazing freedom because as long as Christ was in the middle of his life, as long as Christ was central, as long as the gospel was being preached, he had joy. He had joy. All right? Doesn't mean he was never sad. Doesn't mean he never experienced sorrow. But overall, he had contentment in his life because all these other things, he had this freedom away from the rest of kind of the things that we get bogged down with in life. He experienced, hey, I'm free because all I care about, all I desire is Christ, okay? You see, we really can't lose if we take on this perspective about our future. We really can't lose if you have Christ be like the Lord of your life and you kind of abandon all things else for His sake. Paul couldn't really lose having this perspective on his future. Listen to what he could have said. He could have said, hey, to those who had him captive, to his maybe those who are his accusers, to those who are guarding him, he could have said this, you know what? If you set me free, I'm going to continue to share the good news. If you hold me here in prison, I'm still going to talk about Jesus Christ to you. I'm still going to share about the gospel. And you know what? If you kill me, if you end up taking my life, I'll be with Christ. I'll be with Him. So either way, the future's fine with me. Because either way, it's a win-win-win situation for me. Because Christ is like the middle of my life. Christ is everything for me. So it doesn't matter what you do to me. You can take my life. It might even be more enjoyable because I'll be with Him finally. I'll be united with the one I love. You know? And again, you may say, like, I'm just not ready to kind of make my whole life like this. But if you're not, you know, and maybe I think that God, we can come to God with honesty. He appreciates our honesty over all things. We could say, hey, you know what? I'm not Paul. And frankly, I don't value the gospel as much as Paul. I don't value you, Christ, as much as Paul does. I want to have this heart. But I think that we can say that even in our prayers. We can say, I don't have this perspective. I don't love the gospel as much, but I want to have it. So help me. Help me to have it. We could be honest. We could be straight up with God and say, this is how it is now, but this is where I want it to be. All right? Help me to live totally for you. Okay, so this is how Paul finishes out his letter. This portion of the letter with an encouragement for Philippians. Here we go. This is how he encourages them. He says, "But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live." For your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convicted that I will remain alive so that I continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what He's doing through me. So Paul concluded that even though it would be great to be with the Lord, like honestly, he says, you know, if it's the choice between life and death, I love the Lord so much, I'm so caught up with Him, that I'd rather just be with Him. Frankly, you know, to the Philippians, I'd rather just be with Him. I'd rather just go with Him now. But for your sakes, Paul says, for you, I want to remain with you so that you can grow in the faith. And remember earlier, I shared with you one of the things that Paul stresses to the Philippians is that, hey, to put others above yourself, you know, he's talking about unity, wants to stress unity to the Philippians. So he even gives an example of saying, look, I would rather be with Christ, but I love you guys. And for you, it would benefit you if I were to be here. So he even gives an example of, I want to encourage you and say, I want to be with you because I know it'll help you grow in your faith. So ultimately, Paul's joy was not so much related to the circumstances in his life. And it's easy for us, right, to kind of look and say, my contentment or my ultimate joy is related to the circumstances, whatever those might be. But his ultimate joy was related not to his present or to his future, but to his life in Christ and to the gospel. So again, I want to ask you guys, I want to have you think for a moment, how might God be using the most unlikely spots, the most unlikely spots in your life to reveal Himself to others around you? Or how might God in the future, be using spots in your life to reveal Himself to others? Whether it's bringing, is God asking you to bring light to where there's darkness in someone's life? Or is God placing you where you're at to bring healing to someone where there's brokenness, or hope to someone who has despair? Okay? Or reconciliation to where there's brokenness in relationships. How might God be placing you where you're at right now in life, that He might be showing Himself through you, through your circumstances? Okay? Why don't we close out in prayer? Next week, we're going to have Roy Townsend come from OCC. He's going to be giving more of an Easter message. Next week is Easter. But why don't we close in prayer, and then we've got some announcements. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we keep coming back to You, that we keep looking to You, that we keep going to You, that we keep our hearts moving towards You, to falling more deeply in love with You, just like how Paul was just, he was so caught up with You, so in love with You, so amazed of what You'd done in his life, that he couldn't help but talk with others about You, Your amazing character, Your amazing God. Father, I pray that You'd help us to step back just for a moment, just to see how You might be using where we're at in life right now to kind of show Yourself, because you want to be glorified. You want to be known to others. Show us and empower us through Your Spirit to kind of fulfill the purpose that You have for us wherever we're at. We love You, and we thank You for this time and in Your Word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so